Edward? Om Gnanadamananda Jana Jana Salakaya Tatsu Vilitam Dina Tasmai Svi Gravena Svi Chaitanya Manavistam Kapitam Dina Bhutale Svayam Upadamayam Nadati Savanatikam Manja Kapadurvascha Kripasindubhaivascha Ditanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Reading from the sixth canto, fifth chapter. Narada Muni has just preached to the sons of Daksha, who are known as the Hariyasvas, and he's told them a story, a very simple story, not even exactly a story, but more but an allegory. There he said, you have not seen the extremities of the earth. You don't really know what material reality is like. What reality is like, actually. There is a kingdom where only one man lives, and where there is a hole which, having entered, no one emerges. A woman there, who is extremely unchaste, adorns herself with various attractive dresses. And the man who lives there is her husband. In that kingdom, there is a river flowing in both directions, a wonderful home made of 25 materials, a swan that vibrates various sounds, and an automatically revolving object made of sharp razors and thunderbolts. You have not seen all this, and therefore you are inexperienced boys without advanced knowledge. How then will you create progeny? Alas, your father is omniscient. What does omniscient mean? He knows everything. So who is their father?
Daksha.
Is Daksha omniscient? Anyway, we'll hear who their real father is. But your father is omniscient, but you do not know his actual order. Without knowing the actual purpose of your father, how will you create progeny? What is the purpose, actually, ultimately, of even that Daksha there? Their father was engaged in populating the universe, but for what purpose? This ultimate purpose is the purpose of the ultimate father. So in any case, one by one, after Narada left, the Hariyasvas began to think about the meaning of this allegory. He did not spend very much time with them, but because they were already very qualified and very pure, they were able to reach the proper conclusions and act on those conclusions. Lava matra sarasangi sarvas siddhihoi. Just a moment's association with an exalted Vaishnava can bring about the highest perfection. So there are 10, I believe there are 10 different items in the allegory. We spoke about most of them in the last class. The first one we spoke about was Bhu. The earth is the field of activities. You don't know the field of activities. You don't know that you're acting and you're identifying with the field of activities, the body. We are thinking, we are this. And the field of activities means the realm or the scope, which is based on our body, that we act in a fruitive way within the material world. We're acting, trying to enjoy ourselves, identifying with the field of activities, but we are not the field. We are the chetragya, the knower of the field, the one whose consciousness is spread throughout the field of activities. And the result of this acting within the field of activity with a mood of enjoyment is that we stay within the material world. We create so much karma, reaction to keep us in the material world. There is only one male in this kingdom, And that male, the only male means purusha or enjoyer. The only real enjoyer in every kingdom is the Supreme Lord. And if that Supreme Lord, he's fully opulent, he's independent, and if someone knows him, they are benefited and they become free. And if someone doesn't know him but act in a fruitive way, they gain nothing, because everything they gain is very quickly lost. Then the bilo, the hole that one falls into and never exits from. There are two meanings of this. One is, if one becomes involved in this material world or the lower planetary systems of Patala, one is finished. One stays in there and suffers and suffers and suffers. Practically, one will be in there forever. Practically, for billions and millions and so many years. Because one inadvertently or consciously commits so many abominable activities in this life. Even unconsciously we kill. We cause so much trouble to others. But there is another place that we can fall into, the spiritual world, Vaikuntha Dham, which also we will never return from. But that place is not full of suffering. It is eternal and full of bliss and is based on our loving relationship with Krishna. Then he described a woman who is a prostitute who changes her dress. So this is the intelligence. It's the same thing of trying to enjoy the material world, but the intelligence cloaks that same thing in so many different dresses, so many different fashions, as if it was new, but it's the same thing, trying to enjoy where it's impossible. So what does one gain if one follows this prostitute of intelligence? So who is the husband of that prostitute? So the person who marries that prostitute, he himself, if he identifies with the polluted intelligence, then he is lost. He'll just perform these fruitive activities, trying one thing after another, after another, after another. There's a river flowing in both directions, creation, destruction. So everything in this world is created, destroyed. So we are trapped within this river, trying to enjoy polluted intelligence. So what is the benefit of this? So after each verse where the Hariyasvas describe their realizations, the last line, Kimasat Kamabir Bhaved, what is the benefit of engaging in this way? What is the benefit of creating something, even if that creation is a source of great pleasure for us, when it is just going to be destroyed? And we are similarly going to be destroyed. So what is actually the benefit? Again, if someone said, by your hard work, you can become a billionaire, we would all like that. Of course. But if you could be a billionaire for an eighth of a second, what's the benefit to create, to lose so quickly? What's the enjoyment one can possibly get out of it? So it's less than an eighth of a second that this life, it's a flicker. It's not even a flicker. It's unnoticeable, practically speaking, in eternity. When we think of the countless persons who were born 2,000 years ago, 7,000 years ago, who are they? What did they do? What did they gain? What did they suffer? Who cares? Even they don't care at this point. It was so long ago. They're doing something else in another body. So what is to be actually gained by focusing the consciousness of our short life on creating something that's going to be destroyed, this river that's moving in both directions. Next, there's a house that's composed of the 25 elements. So if one spends one's time entrapped within this house composed of the 25 elements, the material world, this temporary existence that we see in front of us, what is the use? Rather, we should understand that all these elements come from the same source, the Lord, and take shelter of Him. Again, kimasat kamabir bhavet. What can be in this world, what can be the benefit of engaging in these temporary fruitive activities, hammering this point again and again? So, and then the verse that we'll begin on today is 18. Narada Muni had spoken of a swan. The swan is explained in this verse. The Vedic literature has vividly described how to understand the Supreme Lord, the source of all material and spiritual energies. Indeed, they elaborately explain these two energies, material and spiritual energies. The swan, the hansa, is one who discriminates between matter and spirit. He understands who he is and who accepts the essence of everything. So in the material world, there is spirit, there is matter. To accept the spirit, the actual purpose of the material world, that is the swan-like living entity's business. And he explains the means of bondage and the means of liberation. In other words, the Vedic scriptures understand these things. What is matter? What is spirit? How to become further and more deeply entangled? What is the mechanism of becoming entangled in the fruit of activities in the material world, the selfish, petty, sense gratificatory activities in the material world? And also, the Vedic literatures explain the process of freedom from this entanglement. The words of scriptures consist of variegated vibrations. If a foolish rascal leaves aside the study of these shastras to engage in temporary activities, kimasat kama bir bhave, what will be the result? So the swans are those who actually have extracted the essence of the Vedic literatures and understand what is matter, what is spirit, what is the process of entanglement and the process of liberation to get free. And therefore, they extract the essence of the material world and free themselves. They use the material world to free themselves from material bondage. Here's Prabhupada's purport. The Krishna consciousness movement is very eager to present Vedic literature in modern languages, especially Western languages such as English, French, and German, and Spanish. The leaders of the Western world, the Americans and Europeans, have become the idols of modern civilization, because the Western people are very sophisticated in temporary activities for the advancement of material civilization. Everyone, practically speaking, is emulating. They're idolizing these advanced materialists. The civilization of materialism has spread all over the world. Practically, it is based on envy, because everyone is envious of these people, the advanced materialists, and wishes to imitate them because they are not happy, and they are thinking that these people are happy. But actually, these people are less happy too. They're less happy because there's so much frustration and competition if one gives oneself so heartily to sense gratificatory pursuits. Such frustration. Yet everyone is envious of them, and these people walk around bluffing as if happy. But they're not. And what do they have to look forward to in old age? Only to death. In old age, one can't enjoy. Just there was some news article that some man who wanted to pay $20 million to go into the space shuttle or something like that. So he has so much money, and he's so bored. He can't find anything to give him pleasure with all this money in this world, in the whole world. And he won't give it away. But that's actually giving it away in another way. But he won't give it away to a good cause, because this is my money, meant for me to enjoy. So how jaded one has to be to think in this way. If you can't be happy in this world, you think you'll be happy outside of this world? Because happiness comes from gratefulness more than anything else, from peace, satisfaction. One has to be happy within, and then one will be happy with what one has. And if one is not grateful, one won't be satisfied even if one owns the whole world. It won't be enough, because this type of desire, this type of lust, burns like fire. As the Bhagavad Gita explains, it burns like fire. How much fuel does it take to satisfy a fire? So Western people are very sophisticated in temporary activities for the advancement of material civilization. A sane man, however, can see that all such grand activities, although perhaps very important for temporary life, have nothing to do with eternal life. The entire world is imitating the materialistic civilization of the West, and therefore the Krishna consciousness movement is very much interested in giving the Western people knowledge by translating the original Sanskrit Vedic literatures into Western languages. So, practically speaking, Prabhupada is saying that Western civilization has failed because it doesn't produce the satisfaction. The bluff is that if we economically succeed, the world will become satisfied and peaceful. But it doesn't, it's a proven failure already. It's a proven failure. So what causes the failure? The next verse describes that. Narada Muni had spoken of a physical object made of sharp blades and thunderbolts. The Hariyaspas understood this allegory as follows. Eternal time, this is what frustrates everyone's plans. No matter, regardless of the success one may be experiencing, it is only temporary. Eternal time moves very sharply, as if made of razors and thunderbolts. It cuts everything. It shatters everything. It destroys everything. Everything turns into dust in time. Everything created, even our very body, will. So uninterrupted, unstoppable, uninterrupted and fully independent, it drives the activities of the entire world. It does not try to study the eternal, if one does not try to study the eternal element of time, what benefit can he derive from performing temporary material activities? So this point, driven home again and again, kima sat kama bi bhavet, what benefit will we get by not taking to eternal life, by getting enraptured by the temporary and working fruitively to gain temporary things? What benefit will we get? Everything will be slashed and destroyed by the razors and thunderbolts of time. read a little of Prabhupada's purport. Time is compared herein to a sharp razor. A razor is meant to shave the hair from one's face. But if not carefully handled, the razor will cause disaster. One is advised not to create a disaster by misusing his lifetime. One should be extremely careful to utilize the span of his life for spiritual realization or Krishna consciousness. Text 20. So the swan, the razor. Text 20. Narada Muni had asked one could ignorantly defy one's own father. The Hariyasvas understood the meaning of this question. One must accept the original instructions of the Shastra according to Vedic civilization. One is offered a sacred thread as a sign of second birth. One takes his second birth by dint of having received instructions in the Shastra from a bona fide spiritual master. Therefore, Shastra, scripture, is the real father. So how can one defy one's father? All the Shastras instruct that one should end his material way of life. In other words, there is a disparity between the instructions between the Shastra father and Daksha, the material father. The material father is telling these elevated souls to become entangled in material life to increase the progeny, which ultimately is for spiritual purpose, but it's such an entanglement. But Shastra describes that if this ultimately is not required, that if one can avoid such entanglement, one should avoid that entanglement. So Shastra scriptures is a real father, all the Shastras instruct that one should end his material way of life. This is the point of Shastra, to get out. To get out. If one does not know the purpose of the Father's orders, the Shastras, he is ignorant. And if an ignorant person tries to execute orders but doesn't truly understand them, what is going to be the result? Anything from failure to disaster. The words of a material father who endeavors to engage his sons in material activities are not the real instructions of the father. So this was the conclusion of the Prakatis. We'll read some of Prabhupada's purport. All the Shastras advise Nivritti Marg, or release from the material way of life. Apart from the Shastras of the Vedic civilization, which is the oldest of the world, other Shastras agree on this point, that detachment and renunciation is the principle. Not enjoyment, and not even enjoyment, is not the principle that Shastras describe. So Prabhupada is explaining that all Shastras agree on this. For example, in the Buddhist Shastra, Lord Buddha advises that one achieve Nirvana by giving up the materialistic way of life. In the Bible, which is also a Shastra, one will find the same advice. One should cease materialistic life and return to the kingdom of God. In any Shastra one may examine, especially the Vedic Shastra, the same advice is given. One should give up his materialistic life and return to his original spiritual life. Shankaracharya also propounds the same conclusion. Brahma satyam jagan mitya. The material world or materialistic life is simply illusion, and therefore one should stop his illusory activities and come to the platform of Brahman. And a little later in the purport, the Krishna consciousness movement is teaching this higher knowledge of retiring from materialistic life to return to Godhead. But unfortunately, many parents are not satisfied with this movement. This was especially in the old days. Aside from the parents of our students, many businessmen are also dissatisfied. because we teach our students to abandon intoxication, meat-eating, illicit sex, and gambling. If the Krishna consciousness movement spreads, the so-called businessmen will have to close their slaughterhouses, breweries, and cigarette factories. Therefore, they are also very much afraid. However, we have no alternative than to teach our disciples to free themselves from materialistic life. We must instruct them in the opposite of material life to save them from the repetition of birth and death. Narada Muni therefore advises the Haryasvas, the son of Prajapati Daksha, that instead of begetting progeny, it would be better to leave and achieve the perfection of spiritual understanding according to the instructions of the Shastras. The importance of the Shastras is mentioned in Bhagavad Gita. Yashastra vidim utsrija vartite kamakarita nasasidim avapnoti nasukam na param gatim. One who disregards the injunctions of the Shastras and acts whimsically as he likes never achieves the perfection of life, not to speak of happiness, nor does he return home to the spiritual world. Sukadeva Goswami continued. So that completes the 10 understandings gained by the Haryasvas. They were so pure, just a little, just like if there's something that's very flammable. What's something that's very flammable? Petrol or something like that. Even if you get a little flame near it, boom! It immediately explodes. And on the other hand, if there's some wet wood, it'll burn, but only after a long time. It has to be in a lot of contact with the fire before it'll burn, in a hot fire. So similarly, if one is in the mode of goodness and already purified, he's very combustible. And if one has more mode of ignorance and more passion, and especially ignorance, it takes a lot of contact before he bursts into flames of inspired Krishna consciousness. And the Prachetas were so inspired. They immediately, just a few words from Narada Muni, they figured everything out. So Sukadeva Goswami continued, "My dear king," he's speaking to Maharaj Prakrit, "after hearing the instructions of Narada, the Haryasvas, the sons of Prajapati Daksha, were firmly convinced. They all believed in his instructions and reached the same conclusion. They accepted it to the core of their hearts. Having accepted him as their spiritual master, they circumambulated that great sage and followed the path by which one never returns to the world. To this world." Read some of Prabhupada's purport. From this verse, we can understand the meaning of initiation and the duties of a disciple and spiritual master. The spiritual master never instructs his disciple, "Take a mantra from me, pay me some money, and by practicing this yoga system, you will become very expert in materialistic life." This is not the duty of a spiritual master. Rather, the spiritual master teaches the disciple how to give up materialistic life. And the disciple's duty is to assimilate his instructions and ultimately follow the path back home, back to Godhead, from whence no one returns to this material world. After hearing the instructions of Narada Muni, the Haryasvas, the sons of Prajapati Daksha, decided not to be entangled in materialistic life by begetting hundreds of children and having to take care of them. This would have been unnecessary entangling. The Haryasvas did not consider pious and impious activities. Their materialistic father had instructed them to increase the population. But because of the words of Narada Muni, they could not heed that instruction. Narada Muni, as their spiritual master, gave them the Shastric instruction that they should give up this material world, and as bona fide disciples, they followed his instructions. One should not endeavor to wander to different planetary systems within this universe. For even if one goes to the topmost planetary system, Brahmaloka, one must return again. Chine punye martilokam vishanti. The endeavors of karmis are a useless waste of time. One should endeavor to return home, back to Godhead. This is the perfection of life. Text 22. The seven musical notes, sa re ga ma pa da ni, are used in musical instruments, but originally they came from the Samaveda. The great sage Narada vibrates sounds describing the pastimes of the Supreme Lord. By such transcendental vibrations, such as Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, he fixes his mind at the lotus feet of the Lord. Thus he directly perceives Rishikesh, the master of the senses. After delivering the Hariyasvas, Narada Muni continued traveling throughout the planetary systems, his mind always fixed at the lotus feet of the Lord. Prabhupada's purport. The goodness of the great sage Narada Muni is described herewith. He always chants about the pastimes of the Lord and delivers the fallen souls back to Godhead. In this regard, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has sung, Narada Muni Bhajai Vina Radhika Ramana Namane Name Nama Amani Udita Hai Bhakata Gita Same Amiya Dhara Virishe Ghana Shravana Yugale Gya Bhakata Jana Sangane Nache Bariya Apane Hiya Madhuri Pura Asabapasi Matteya Jagata Jane Keha va khande, keha va nache, keha matte mane mane. Pancha vadana narada dhare, premera sangana rola. Kamal sana nachya vale, bolo bolo hari bolo. Sahasranana paramasuke, hari hari bolegae. Nama prabhave matila vishva. Nama rasa sabe pai. Si Krishna nam rasa nev spure, pura la amara ashe. Si rupa pade yachaye iha bhakti vinoda dase. The purport of this song, Prabhupada continues, is that Narada Muni, the great soul, plays a string instrument called a veena, vibrating the sound Radhika Raman, which is another name for Krishna. As soon as he strokes the strings, all the devotees begin responding, making a very beautiful vibration. Accompanied by the string instrument, the singing seems like a shower of nectar, and all the devotees dance in ecstasy to the fullest extent of their satisfaction. While dancing, they appear madly intoxicated with ecstasy, as if drinking the beverage called Madhuri Pura. Some of them cry, some of them dance, and some of them, although unable to dance publicly, dance within their hearts. Lord Shiva embraces Narada Muni and begins talking in an ecstatic voice. And seeing Lord Shiva dancing with Narada, Lord Brahma also joins, saying, all of you kindly chant, Hari Bol, Hari Bol. The King of Heaven, Indra, also gradually joins with great satisfaction, begins dancing and chanting, Hari Bol, Hari Bol. In this way, by the influence of the transcendental vibration of the holy name of God, the whole universe becomes ecstatic. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, when the universe becomes ecstatic, my desire is fulfilled, is satisfied rather. When the universe becomes ecstatic, my desire is satisfied. I therefore pray unto the lotus feet of Sri Rupa Goswami that this chanting of Harinam may go on nicely like this. Lord Brahma is the guru of Narada Muni, who is the guru of Vyasadeva, and Vyasadeva is the guru of Madhvacharya. Thus the Gaudiya Madhva Sampradaya is in the disciplic succession from Narada Muni. The members of this disciplic succession, in other words, the members of the Krishna consciousness movement, should follow in the footsteps of Narada Muni by chanting the transcendental vibration, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. They should go everywhere to deliver the fallen souls vibrating the Hare Krishna mantra and the instructions of Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Charitamrita. That will please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One can spiritually advance if one actually follows the instructions of Narada Muni. If one pleases Narada Muni, then the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Rishikesh, is also pleased. Yasya prasada bhagavat prasada. The immediate spiritual master is the representative of Narada Muni. There is no difference between the instructions of Narada Muni and those of the present spiritual master. Both Narada Muni and the present spiritual master speak the same teachings of Krishna, who says in the Bhagavad Gita, Manmana bhava mad bhakto madhyajimam namaskuru mam evyasyati satyam te priyojane pratijane priyasime savadamam pratyaja mamekam sharanam braja aham tam savapapebhyo moksha shami masucha. Always think of me and become my devotee. Worship me and offer your homage unto me. Thus you will come to me without fail. I promise you this because you are my very dear friend. Abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender unto me. I shall deliver you from all sinful reaction. Do not fear. So that verse described the glories of Narada Muni, verse in Prabhupada's purport too, and the followers of Narada Muni. And Narada Muni left after liberating the Hariyastas from material life. The Hariyastas, the sons of Prajapati Daksha, were very well behaved, cultured sons. But unfortunately, because of the instructions of Narada Muni, they deviated from the order of their father. When Daksha heard this news, which was brought to him by Narada Muni, he began to lament. Narada Muni, he likes to make things quite exciting. So not after he liberated these people and broke their determination to follow their father Daksha's order, he went and told Daksha what he had done. Although he was the father of such good sons, he had lost them all, and he had a service to do to populate the universe. And he had these sons, they were about to help him, assist him, then Narada Muni freed him, and then Narada Muni went and told him. Although he was the father of such good sons, he had lost them all. Certainly, this was lamentable. Here's Prabhupada's purport. The Hariyastas, the sons of Prajapati Daksha, were certainly well-behaved, learned, and advanced. In accordance with the order of their father, they went to perform austerities to beget good sons for their family. But Narada Muni took advantage of their good behavior and culture to properly direct them not to be involved with this material world, but to use their culture and knowledge to end their material affairs. The Hariyastas abided by the order of Narada Muni. When news of this was brought to Prajapati Daksha, the Prajapati, instead of being happy with the actions of Narada Muni, was extremely sorrowful. Similarly, we are trying to bring as many young men as possible to the Krishna consciousness movement for their ultimate benefit, says Srila Prabhupada. But the parents of the young men joining this movement, being very sorry, are lamenting and making counter-propaganda. Of course, Prajapati Daksha did not make propaganda against Narada Muni, but later, as we shall see, Daksha cursed Narada Muni for his benevolent activities. This is the way of materialistic life. A materialistic father and mother want to engage their sons in begetting children, striving for improved economic conditions and rotting in materialistic life. They are not happy when their children become... They are not unhappy. They are not unhappy when their children become spoiled, useless citizens. But they lament when they join the Krishna consciousness movement to achieve the ultimate goal of life. So Prabhupada saw this amazing thing, that so many of the youth who he was attracting, they were crazy hippies. And the parents became upset when they gave everything up and chanted Hare Krishna. So he thought that was quite astounding. They lament when they join the Krishna consciousness movement to achieve the ultimate goal of life. This animosity between parents and the Krishna consciousness movement has existed since time immemorial. Even Narada Muni was condemned, not to speak of others. Nevertheless, Narada Muni never gives up his mission. To deliver as many fallen souls as possible, he continues playing his musical instrument and vibrating the transcendental sound, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So Daksha was upset. When Prajapati Daksha was lamenting for his lost children, they had become great sadhus, Lord Brahma pacified him with instructions. And thereafter, Daksha begot 1,000 more children in the womb of his wife, Panchajani. This time, his sons were known as the Savalasvas. Purport. Prajapati Daksha was so named because he was very expert. Daksha means expert. He was very expert in begetting children. First, he begot 10,000 children in the womb of his wife. And when the children were lost, when they returned home back to Godhead, he begot another set of children known as the Savalasvas. Prajapati Daksha is very expert in begetting children, and Narada Muni is very expert in delivering all the conditioned souls back home, back to Godhead. Therefore, the materialistic experts do not agree with the spiritual expert, Narada Muni. But this does not mean that Narada Muni will give up his engagement of chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. In accordance, this is about the Savalasvas. In accordance with their father's order to beget children, the second group of sons also went to the Narayan Saras, the same place where their brothers had previously attained perfection by following the instructions of Narada. Undertaking great vows of austerity, the Savalasvas remained at that holy place. Prabhupada's purport will read, starting about a third of the way down. Prajapati Daksha sent his second group of sons for cultural improvement, despite the risk that because of the instructions of Narada, they might become as intelligent as their older brothers. As a dutiful father, he did not hesitate to allow his sons to receive cultural instructions concerning the perfection of life. He depended upon them to choose whether to return home back to Godhead or to rot in this material world in various species of life. So Prabhupada is saying that this is really the reality of the situation. Everyone has to make these choices. The sons have to make the choices about what they will do with their life. Why? Because we have responsibility for our lives. The parents have some responsibility, but ultimately the responsibility is our own. Parents, when the children do badly, the parents suffer some. And when the children do well, the parents enjoy some. But the one who does badly or the one who does well suffers and enjoys still more, because although the responsibility for is shared, most of it is on the individual to make the best use of his life. Responsible fathers should not hinder their sons who are making cultural advancement in association with the Krishna consciousness movement. This is not a father's duty. The duty of a father is to give his son complete freedom to make his choice after becoming spiritually advanced by following the instructions of the spiritual master. So Prabhupada is preaching to contemporary fathers and sons here. At Narayan Saras, the second group of sons, what were their names? Savalasvas. And their older brothers were the Hariasvas. The Hariasvas and the Savalasvas. At Narayan Sara, the second group of sons performed penances in the same way as the first. They bathed in the holy water, and by its touch, all the dirty material desires in their hearts were cleansed away. They murmured mantras, beginning with Omkar, and underwent a severe course of austerities. We'll read some of Prabhupada's purport. It's a short purport. Whether one chants Omkar or addresses the Lord as Krishna, the meaning is the same. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has recommended that in this age one chant the Hare Krishna mantra, Hari Nama Eva Kevalam. Although there is no difference between Hare Krishna and the Vedic mantras, beginning with Omkar, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the leader of the spiritual movement for this age, has recommended that one chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So the Savalasvas continue their austerities. For a few months, the sons of Prajapati Daksha drank only water and ate only air. Thus undergoing great austerities, they recited this mantra, "Let us offer our respectful obeisances unto Narayan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is always situated in His transcendental abode. Since He is the Supreme Person, the Paramahansa, let us offer our respectful obeisances unto Him." Prabhupada's purport. So they recited such a nice mantra to the Supreme Lord, offering their obeisances to Him, recognizing His position as the Supreme Lord, and offering obeisances. Purport. From these verses, it is apparent that the chanting of the Maha Mantra, or the Vedic mantras, must be accompanied by severe austerities. In Kali Yuga, people cannot undergo severe austerities like those mentioned herein. Only water and eating only air for many months. One cannot imitate such a process. But at least one must undergo some austerity by giving up four unwanted principles, namely illicit sex, meat-eating, intoxication, and gambling. Because these disallow one, these anchor one to material consciousness and disallow one from spiritually advancing. But if anyone can easily practice this tapasya, and then the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra will be effective without delay. One should not give up the process of austerity. One should not give up the process of austerity. If possible, one should bathe in the waters of the Ganges or Yamuna. Or in the absence of the Ganges and Yamuna, one may bathe in the water of the sea. Waters of the sea. So that should get all the surfers pretty enthusiastic. This is an item of austerity. Our Krishna consciousness movement has therefore established two very large centers, one in Vrindavan and another in Mayapur Navadvip. There, one may bathe in the Ganges or Yamuna, chant the Hare Krishna mantra, and thus become perfect and return home back to Godhead. So they were performing austerities. O King Prickett, Narada Muni approached these sons of Prajapati Daksha, who were engaged in tapasya to beget children, and spoke enigmatic words to them, just as he had spoke to their elder brothers. O sons of Daksha, please hear my words of instruction attentively. You are all very affectionate to your elder brothers, the Hariyasvas, therefore you should follow their path. So Narada Muni knew that the Savalasvas were attached to their elder brothers, the Hariyasvas, and then to help, to add some spice to his preaching, he used that attachment that they had for their elder brothers to convince them about renunciation. And he reminded them in that way of their relationship with their elder brothers, and that their elder brothers had renounced everything and taken to full renunciation. A brother aware of the principles of religion follows in the footsteps of the elder brothers. Because of being highly elevated, such a pious brother gets the opportunity to associate and enjoy with demigods like the Maruts, who are all affectionate to their brothers. So this is what Narada Muni was convincing them, using this tactic of their attachment to their brothers to push them still further. They were already so pure already, and to encourage them still further, he spoke in this way. Sukadeva Goswami continued, "O best of the advanced audience, After saying this much to the sons of Prajapati Daksha, Narada Muni, whose merciful glance never goes in vain, left as he had planned. The sons of Daksha followed their elder brothers. Not attempting to produce children, he engaged himself in Krishna consciousness. The Savalasvas took to the correct path, which is obtainable by a mode of life meant to achieve devotional service or the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Like nights that have gone to the west, nights meaning the evenings, the darkness, that kind of night, as opposed to nights in shining armor. Like nights that have gone to the west, they have not returned even until now. So they left and never came back, just like the Hariyasvas. So at this time, Prajapati Daksha observed many inauspicious signs. And he heard from various sources that his second group of sons, the Savalasvas, had followed the path of their elder brothers in accordance with the instructions of Narada. And then Daksha met Narada and he was furious. So tomorrow, Krishna allows, we shall hear how he reacted in this way. Thank you very much, Hare Krishna. Any questions or comments? Yeah, actually we could say that Abraham had a job like Daksha, because Daksha lived before Abraham.
I was going to say, before I'll finish, was it around about the same time?
No, it was a long time before. So long before. Yeah, but be fruitful and multiply. Yeah. But in this case specifically, when he got that instruction, it was also an instruction that was suitable for a person who had the mentality that he had, because that wasn't the highest instruction. The highest instruction isn't be fruitful and multiply. The highest instruction is manmana bhava madbhakta, always engage your mind in thinking about Krishna and serve Krishna. Give up everything else and become a fully surrendered servant to Krishna. Sometimes, one in that condition, like Priyavrata, who we heard about at the beginning of the fifth canto, he was fully renounced and he got the order to rule the kingdom. So, and Arjuna, fully renounced, got the order to fight. So the main thing is to be fully detached from any selfish desire and have one's desire fully to serve the Lord, to please Him. And then whatever He orders, if we follow that with great devotion, is devotional service. But in Daksha's case, he wasn't quite in that state. He had some of his own desires, and he was using those desires in Krishna's service. And the Lord gave him an instruction that was suitable for that. Okay? Thank you. Any other questions or comments?
You were referring to the point that the father, it's compared to the instruction Shastra father.
The swan, I think, was.
Yeah. And I know that you were quoting from Prabhupada or what's your condition. Do you say that if you do not understand exactly the instructions of the father, then you can, as a result, you may obtain.
I think that
would to disaster.
We'll read. I think it was the verse. This one, Narada Muni had asked one how one could ignorantly defy one's father. That one, or one must accept the original instructions of the Shastra. That one. or there was one before that about the swan. The Vedic literatures vividly describe how to understand the Supreme Lord, the source of all material and spiritual energy. Which one?
Yeah, you were commenting on the same point, saying that if you do not understand in reference to that, those
Shastra, it was the father one, I think.
The father in the instructions.
Yeah.
Then we obtain from failure to
Shastra.
You're saying about that.
Yeah, if we try, in other words, if we try, even though we may be trying, quote, sincerely, but it takes depth of knowledge. Yeah, that was my comment.
Yeah,
it was my comment. Thinking about experience, my own experiences.
Yeah. So we can say that whatever failure or disasters we cause in our life or in general, it's because we don't understand exactly.
We're not. Well, it could be we don't understand, or we're not fully unmotivated either. We're not pure yet either. But for a devotee, there's really no failure, but he has to accept the reactions to what happens due to that as for his purification. And then it becomes Krishna's mercy as opposed to failure. Because it will purify him.
You see, we have to come to the point of accepting that it's the main reason why we fail. Because, as you were explaining or commenting, we do not understand exactly.
Well, we're not surrendered. We're not deep enough. We don't have deep enough understanding. And we don't have deep enough understanding. We're not surrendered enough, and we have impurities. We're not pure enough. Those are three that, there may be others, but those are the three that there's lack in our immaturity.
And we were reading also Prabhupada, I think, was quoting Bhagavad Gita, one of the last verses of 16th chapter.
Yes.
Yatsudim Shastra.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Disregard of scriptural injunctions is the improper comments in Bhagavad Gita to the beginning of demoniac life or something like that.
Narada Muni therefore advises Hariyasvas, the sons of Prajapati Daksha, that instead of begetting progeny, it would be better to leave and achieve the perfection of spiritual understanding according to the instructions of the Shastras. The importance of the Shastras is mentioned in Bhagavad Gita, Yashastra Vidamutsuja Vartate Kamakarita Nasa Siddhim Vapnapti Nasukam Naparam Gatim, 16:23, Bhagavad Gita. One who disregards the injunctions of the Shastras and acts whimsically as he likes, never achieves the perfection of life, not to speak of happiness, nor does he return home to the spiritual world. So, the Shastras, this is one of the tricky things about Shastra, and the Vedic Shastras are so vast, that different instructions are given to different individuals of different mentalities. So to one person, he may get the, according to his capacity, he may get the instruction to marry even. And another person may get the instruction, if he is more qualified, to remain fully celibate and focused only on going back home, back to Godhead. So there may be different instructions for different individuals, and Shastra gives different instructions. And they are meant to increase the faith and instruct people at different levels of advancement. So the instruction to beget children was not as high or up to the level of qualification that the Hariyasvas and Savalasyas had. So Narada Muni, even though they had a legitimate occupation to do, he gave them higher instructions due to their qualifications. Interestingly enough, that when the Pachetas were instructed, they were instructed They weren't instructed to just remain renounced. They went back. And later on, after they ruled the kingdom, and later on they became renounced. So different instructions for different persons. So therefore one has to know, that's why one needs a spiritual master to take the specific instructions of Shastra and give us, he has to assimilate the full scope of it and be able to instruct individuals according to what they need, like a doctor. He prescribes, and this is the job of Brahmins actually. A doctor may have so much knowledge, this medicine is good, this medicine is good, but you have to know which medicine to give which person at which particular time according to what their condition is. Yes. Is that right?
Yeah, I was just, I don't know if I read it from Prabhupada, maybe it's a class or a comment that he's commenting on the word Vyapashrita that in Bhagavad Gita it's mentioned. Sri Yuvaisha Tatasuda is at first. And he says that this is the common instruction that we should take shelter in whatever condition we may be. I mean, there might be different instructions. But
yeah, and then there's common points as well.
The common point is to take shelter.
Yes. And chant Hare Krishna. Chant Hare Krishna. Yeah, that's nice. So there's differences and there's common instructions. Yes. Because we're individuals in an individual condition, it doesn't mean that everything will be different. There's common association of devotees, following the four rules, chanting Hare Krishna, studying the Bhagavatam, hearing, etc. Nice comments. Thank you. Okay. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Shri Prabhupada ki jai, Narada Muni ki jai.